Beginning in verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away by these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, and to another of working of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the discerning of spirits, and to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Tonight we are continuing our series here on the person and work of the Holy Spirit, looking at that section mainly dealing with the gifts of the Holy Spirit listed here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now we have looked at the first five of the gifts listed here in verses 8 through 10, that being the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, healings, and miracles. Tonight we're going to pick up our study starting with the gift of prophecy. Now when we hear the word prophecy, we immediately think of the predicting of future events, the foretelling of the future. And that is how prophecy is predominantly seen in the Old Testament scriptures, where men were moved by God to predict future events. Now, to a large extent, those prophecies dealt with the coming of Jesus Christ. Both His first and second comings are prophesied in the Old Testament. But many times the Lord raised up a prophet to prophesy concerning the judgment of God that was going to come upon the nation of Israel or one of the surrounding nations unless they repented. Now in Hebrews chapter 1 in verse 1, we're told that in the past God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. There were different times and many different ways and vehicles and vessels, really, that God used to bring that prophetic word to His people. In 2 Peter chapter 2, or chapter 1, verse 21, Peter said, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." And as we go through the Old Testament scriptures, we see men like Moses and David who were used in this area of prophecy. Although this wasn't their primary calling or their primary ministry, they moved in that prophetic gift. Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 32 foretells the events that would take place after Israel entered into the land of promise. He tells how they would turn away from God and how they would be, because of their turning away from God, scattered amongst the nations. And what's interesting is Deuteronomy 32 is a song that the people memorized. They memorized the prophecy that was contained in this song that Moses wrote. They grew up singing this song. And although they knew the song and they sang it, they fell into the very things that the song warned them of. And it was only while they were singing that song in captivity that they understood and began to realize and they were awakened to the reason of their captivity. The very thing that Moses had prophesied had happened. David is mentioned in the book of Acts as being a prophet of God. In Acts chapter 2, verse 30 and 31, speaking of David, it says, "Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption." David mentioned there as being a prophet and prophesying concerning the Messiahship of Jesus Christ. Many of David's Psalms were predictive in nature and also in their content. Many of David's Psalms, like Psalm 22, were messianic in that meaning that they spoke of the coming of the Messiah or events that dealt with the Messiah and his ministry. So Moses and David were men who moved in the prophetic ministry, although that wasn't their primary calling. It wasn't their primary ministry. Whereas others like Samuel and Elijah and Elisha and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Hosea were men who were called by God to be his prophets. And they had a very predictive type of ministry. They predicted the coming judgment that would come upon Israel unless they repented. They predicted the coming of the Messiah. And so they were men who moved primarily in that predictive type of ministry as prophets. But prophecy is more than the foretelling of future events. It is also the foretelling of the mind and the heart and the word of God to his people. The word prophecy derives from a Greek root which means to cause to shine. And it's linked with the prefix pro, which means before. So the person with the gift of prophecy is one who stands before God's people and causes the word of God and the heart of God to shine before the people. He stands before God's people and causes his word and his heart to be revealed to those who are listening. Now, many times when people talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they refer to them mainly in the context of what has commonly been called the afterglow. Now, to be honest with you, I'm not sure where that term or that phrase comes from, but it basically signifies that time where people are waiting upon God. Usually it's called afterglow because it's after the Bible study time, and they're waiting upon the Lord for the Holy Spirit to move. And many times when people talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they're talking about the gifts in that type of context. And the gifts that are predominantly talked about are the gift of tongues, the gifts of miracles and healings, and the gift of prophecy. Those seem to be in those circles where, you know, they are afterglowing, if you would, that those are the gifts that are mentioned the most. In fact, some people go so far as to suggest that if those things are not happening, God didn't show up, that God wasn't there. Now, the Bible declares contrary. The Bible declares that when two or more are gathered together in his name, that he is there in the midst of them. And most of the time when God's people are gathered together in his name, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are in operation. For instance, the gift of helps is being manifested by all the people serving behind the scenes. There were people today, this morning and this evening, that got here early to vacuum floors, to clean up toilets, to clean up bathrooms, to wash windows on all of the doors, to make this place presentable for the people coming in, to make it comfortable. There were people that went through this morning and this evening through these pews, picking up all the trash of the people that left here in the morning. In those particular ministries or those particular people who were serving in a way that when no one saw, the gift of helps was in operation. The gift of administrations is in operation through those who oversee and plan the different meetings, those who make sure the bills are paid so the lights would come on. The gift of teaching is in operation when whoever is sharing the word of God. And oftentimes that gift of teaching is accompanied by the gift of the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. And we've talked about those in past weeks. As well as the gift of prophecy. is usually always when the Word is being opened, it is in operation as the Word that is being shared is the very Word of God. It's God's heart being revealed to that particular group of people or to specific individuals within that meeting. And so we need to be careful when we are discussing the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we are not limiting their operation to only what happens in times of waiting upon the Lord. Because in actuality, the gifts are in operation almost always when God's people are gathered together. In one way, in one form or another, those gifts are being exemplified. And there are other gifts that we'll look at in a couple weeks found in Romans chapter 12 that are definitely in operation when God's people are coming together. And we need to realize that the diversity of the operation of those gifts of the Holy Spirit, that's not just in those times when we are waiting upon the Lord. Now, prophecy, though, is that gift of declaring the truth. That basically, it is a gift of expounding the Word of God. It's that gift of making the Scriptures come alive. It's speaking forth the mind of God. Now, it was seen clearly in the Old Testament, in the prophetic ministry of men, as I said, like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Hosea. And in the Old Testament, those prophecies were more of a foretelling, predictive, than a forthtelling. But in the New Testament, the order is actually the opposite. In the New Testament, the gift of prophecy is more often seen in the foretelling, the speaking forth of the truth and the mind and the heart of God than its predicting of future events. Although in the New Testament, we do see some instances where there were those who had a predictive type of ministry. In the book of Acts, there's a man by the name of Agabus who was a prophet. And Agabus prophesied in Acts chapter 11, verse 28, that there would be a great famine that would come upon the land, and it did. There was a famine that came upon the land and specifically hit the area of Jerusalem. Agabus also prophesied that Paul would be bound when he went to Jerusalem. In fact, he was very demonstrative in his prophecy. He took Paul's belt and he said, whoever owns this belt when he goes down to Jerusalem, he's going to be bound by it. And that's when Paul was arrested and eventually shipped off to Rome. The Apostle John also moved in this prophetic, predictive aspect of ministry when he penned the book of Revelation. Those are really the few instances that you see in the New Testament scriptures where prophecy is seen in that predictive type of way. What we see instead in the New Testament are men and women who were used to declare God's truth and to expound God's word. It was much more of a foretelling of the word of God. It was causing the word of God to shine in such a way that people would understand it, that people would be moved by it. Their ministry was more of a guiding ministry than a predictive type of ministry. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1, one of my favorite scriptures, the Lord says to Habakkuk, write the vision and make it plain so that those who read it may run with it. And that really in the New Testament is a great example of what that gift of prophecy is seen. It's seen as those who are writing the vision, they're revealing the heart of God through the Word of God and doing it in such a way that those who read it can understand it and they can run with it. Now, Paul defines for us the purpose of this gift of prophecy in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Turn over to there with me. Chapter 14. Verse 3. Paul declares, but he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to all men. Now, this is the nature of the prophetic gift. The person moving in the gift of prophecy is going to be one who is speaking edification, exhortation, and comfort to the body of Christ. Let's consider those words for a moment. Edification means to build up. It's a word used in architecture that refers to the establishing of a building that makes it firm and makes it solid. And so God will move through people at times in that prophetic gift to share a word that is, the intent of it is to make God's people stronger, to build them up, to make them firm in their faith. The word exhortation is parakaleo in the Greek, from which we get the word paraclete that Jesus spoke in John 14 of the helper. And primarily that word, the parakaleo, means to call to one side to help. It means to admonish someone, to urge one to pursue some course of conduct. And so first of all, there's the edification, the building up, the exhortation, that of admonishing, that of urging, that of causing someone to, urging them to pursue a course of conduct, a course of action. And then there's the word comfort, similar word derived from the same Greek word. It's parakaleos, and it means one called alongside to console and to encourage. And so the person who is moving in the word of prophecy is going to be like that. It's going to be that word that comes to a person to aid them. It's going to come to them as a source of aid and comfort to build them up in their time of need, in their time of difficulty. It's kind of, think of it in this way. You're out of gas. You're parked on the side of the road. And somebody pulls up at just the right time to give you a lift. Somebody comes along at just the right time to fill your tank. That word of prophecy works in that same way. You come to Bible study, you're out of gas. You're wore out. You're defeated. And what is taught is exactly what you needed to hear. It fills your tank. Or you're talking with a friend. You're sharing with a brother or sister, and they share a verse with you. That's exactly what you needed. And it fills your tank. It fills your heart. That word spoken from that brother, from that sister, it just refreshes you. It encourages you. We're gathered together here on a Sunday evening. We're waiting upon the Lord. We're having some songs and we're waiting, and somebody shares a scripture. That scripture can be a word of prophecy. When it's exactly what somebody needed to hear from the Lord about their situation. All of those are examples of the word of prophecy being delivered. It's declaring the word of God. It's declaring the heart and the mind of God in a specific situation to a specific need through a word that is given. And it can be as simple as just a scripture that is shared. But it's the perfect scripture for that person in that time of need that fills their tank, that warms their heart, that hits them, that reveals to them God's heart, that encourages them, that edifies them, that exhorts them, or comforts them in the Lord. That word of prophecy can even be seen or used in the sending of a card. When that card has a verse or a word from the Lord that just is exactly what somebody needed. And some of you, I'm sure, have been used in that way, that all of a sudden God puts on your heart to write somebody. You sit down and you begin to write them, you know, just some thoughts and a scripture, you know, that comes to your mind, and you write it and you're not sure why you wrote that scripture, and you put it in the mail, you send it to that person, they get it, they open it up, and it's on that day when that's exactly what they needed to hear. And God used you in sharing a word of prophecy. You didn't even know it by sending that card. It's beautiful. God can even use a word of prophecy through email. And so it's that declaring of the heart and the mind of God. And it's filling and it's refreshing and it's comforting to the hearer. Now, sometimes prophecy gets a bad rap by those who are hyper-spiritual. Because when they seek to be used in this way, they start talking in King James. Oh, my people, thou hast corrupted my ways. And, you know, and they start talking in that type of way. And I have a problem with that for a couple of reasons. One, Jesus didn't speak King James. We need to understand that. He didn't speak in King James. And secondly, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:3 that he who prophesies, again, he speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. In other words, that word of prophecy is going to be that which is encourages and builds up and comforts the body. It's not going to be that, according to what Paul writes here, that tears the body down. And so often, in those hyper-spiritual type of meetings, that's what you hear, is these words that are given that are just thrashing people and just tearing them down. And Paul said, that is not the nature of this gift. It's to edify, to exhort, and to comfort. So when you prophesy, you are speaking for God to the church to edify. You are building up your brothers and sisters in Christ. When you prophesy, you are speaking for God to the church. You are encouraging people to trust the Lord and to lay hold of the promises of God. And when you prophesy, you are speaking for God to the church, and you are exhorting people to action, exhorting them to praise and to prayer and to service. And when you prophesy, you are speaking for God to the church. You are comforting others. And the Holy Spirit works through you to minister comfort to us. So that is the purpose of this gift of prophecy. It's the definition of it, the declaring of the Word of God, the nature of it, to edify, to build up, to encourage, and to comfort. The last thing that we want to note is the validation of prophecy. Notice what Paul says in verse 29 of chapter 14. He says, let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. Let two or three speak, and let the others judge. The prophecy needs to be validated. It needs to be judged. And prophecy must be judged in three ways. Number one, does it line up with the revealed Word of God? Does it line up with what God has revealed in His Word? Because God will not say something contrary to His written Word. God is not going to use somebody to speak a word of prophecy that says that He wants us to roll around on the floor and bark like dogs. Because He already tells us in His Word that He wants all things to be done decently and in order. That's exactly what that means. And rolling around on the floor and barking like dogs doesn't fit in that description. And so I don't have to question. I don't have to think, okay, is that really God? Because I know God is not going to use somebody to speak a word that is contrary to His Word. And if it's contrary to His written Word, then it's not a prophecy. It's not from God. Secondly, does it line up with the facts concerning the nature of the gift? Does it edify? Does it exhort? Does it comfort? If a person's prophecy does not line up with the facts, if it doesn't edify, if it doesn't comfort, if it doesn't encourage, then it's not of God. If it's condemning and it's angry, I don't have to question it. It doesn't fit the criteria, the facts of the nature that Paul laid out in Corinthians of how this gift is to be in operation. And number three, if it's predictive in nature, then we need to look and to wait and see if it comes to pass. Now, in this area of judging prophecies, the next gift mentioned is very, very important. It comes into play because the next thing that Paul mentions there in chapter 12 There in verse 10, he says, to another prophecy and to another the discerning of spirits. It is significant that this gift is listed immediately following the gift of prophecy. Because in this, we really see God's divine order. Because although there have been those throughout history who have been prophets and have brought forth the word of God to God's people, there has also been throughout history false prophets. And for that reason, it is crucial to have this gift in order to discern the truth from the lies, in order to discern that which is of the Spirit from that which is demonic, to be able to discern that which is from God from that which is from Satan. The gift of the discerning of spirits is a revelation of God that comes to your heart by the Holy Spirit, where you know if something is truly of God or if it's a counterfeit. That's what this discerning of spirits, this gift, is about. Jesus specifically warned that in the last days, there would be false Christs and false prophets who would come on the scene. In Matthew chapter 7, there in verse 15, he said, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves who want to prey on the flock, that want to prey on God's people. In Matthew 24, verse 24, he said, and there shall rise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive even the very elect. And in 1 John chapter 4, in verse 1, John warned, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. The word try means to test or to approve. It means to examine. It means to look and to see if something is really true, if it's really right. And so we need this gift of the discerning of spirits, because we need to be able to discern whether a word being spoken is from the Lord. This gift is often seen in conjunction with the gifts of the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, prophecy, and the interpretation of tongues. Sometimes when we're gathered together in a meeting where we're waiting upon the Lord, and scriptures are being shared, words are being lifted up, and there's a flow. And I encourage you guys to be sensitive to this. Because when we are waiting upon the Lord and we're, you know, opening up for just that opportunity for the Holy Spirit to move amongst the body, we want to be sensitive to Him working through us to share a word, a scripture. But in that time, as you would share a scripture, the idea is really that you really sense God is moving on your heart at that particular time to share a particular scripture. It's not like, oh man, I'm going to read my favorite one because I like it so much. But no, it's God moving on your heart. And sometimes you'll see, and it's the sweetest thing, where all of a sudden, you know, somebody over here shares a scripture. And then somebody over here shares one. And then somebody over here shares one. And just about the room, there's three or four scriptures being shared. And there's a flow to them. There's a connection. There's a theme in them. Maybe, you know, the theme is love or something like that. And then out of the blue, somebody shares a scripture or a word that is just totally in a whole nother direction. Everybody's sharing a word about, you know, about love or something like that, just as an example, and somebody shares something about tithing, you know, and it's like, where'd that come from? And those with discernment are kind of scratching their heads and going, I don't think that one was really the Lord, you know, at that particular time, because that there's that flow, and when the Spirit's moving like that, I mean, you sense there's just sweet flow that's just moving. And then all of a sudden it can get broken. So I encourage you to seek to be sensitive in that area. Now, I'm not saying that at all to dissuade you from wanting to be used in that way, but be careful. And really, you know, sense. It was beautiful last week as Rob Nash was up here, and he was just, his heart was pounding, and he was thinking that God was, you know, putting this verse on his heart that had to deal with the past, but he was like, I don't know if this is really God. And then somebody else shared a verse that dealt with that same theme. It was confirmation to him. Okay, God, you're telling me to do this. And it was neat because that really ministered to several people that were in here that needed to grab a hold of that scripture that was shared concerning forgetting the things that lie behind and looking forward to what lies ahead. And God used those guys who shared in that way. So that gift of the discerning of spirits is so radically important. Let's look at a couple biblical examples of the gift. We see in the life of Peter in Acts chapter 5. You don't need to turn there. We've talked about this already, but it deals with the story of Ananias and Sapphira. You recall they were the husband and wife couple who sold a piece of property. They came to the apostles and they gave them the money from the property, and they were trying to kind of look good in everybody's eyes by saying that they had given all of the proceeds from the sale, when really they hadn't. And Peter, as we talked about before, was given a word of knowledge concerning the fact that they were lying. But he also was given, coupled with that word of knowledge, was the discernment of spirits, that these guys were not telling the truth. And he discerned that. We see in Peter's life also in Acts chapter 8, when Simon, who was a sorcerer, has a false conversion. And he sees people getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he wants to buy the gift. And he says to Peter, he says that, let me buy this gift that I might lay my hands on people and have this happen to them. And Peter responded and said, repent therefore of your wickedness and pray to God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you, for I perceive that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. And the word perceive there means to stare at and to discern clearly. And when Peter looked at this particular guy, he discerned that this guy was off base, that his heart wasn't right. People with this gift are those who might sense that there's something not right with someone when everybody else is gung-ho. I've had this happen to me several times. When everyone was excited about maybe a particular minister or a musician, and I would just be leery. Friends of mine would be booking them to come to their church, and I would just be like, I don't know. And then I would feel bad, like, gosh, I'm so critical. What's wrong with me? Everybody else thinks this person's wonderful, but something in my heart would just be making me sense that something's not right. And then lo and behold, it would come out. Something wasn't right. And there was a hidden sin, and there was something that was wrong, and it would be revealed. And then I would feel like, shoo, I'm so glad I didn't join the bandwagon and have them come here. This gift is essential for those who are involved in leadership and involved in ministry. If you don't have it, you need to pray that God would give it to you. If you don't have it and you're involved in ministry, you need to make sure that there are people ministering with you that do have this gift. A good friend of mine who pastors a church in another state is one who, he goes, I don't have this gift. He says, I just think the best of everybody, you know, and I just don't have this gift. But he has a couple guys ministering with him who do. And when he is just not sure, I mean, he looks to these guys and say, what do you guys think? And he allows, you know, these guys to minister and to share and to counsel him in these particular things. And it's very, very wise of him to do that. So this gift of discernment of spirits is a revelation of God that comes to your heart by the Holy Spirit, where you are able to perceive if something is really of God or if it's a counterfeit or if it's from the enemy. Prophecy is that declaring of the word of God. It can be in the form of the expounding of Scripture. It can be in the form of sharing a scripture that reveals the heart and the mind of God. It can be in the form of predictive. Although we don't see that as much in the New Testament as we do in the Old Testament, there definitely seems to be a shift as Paul defines it more as the forthtelling of the Word of God. But prophecy is a gift that Paul, in the book of, in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, he says in verse 4, contrasting, and we'll talk about this at a later time, actually next week when we start to talk about tongues and interpretation. He says, "He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish that you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification." And that's the key. Again, the purpose of these gifts is not so that people can look at me and go, "Oh, wow, look at that. You know, he ministered in this gift." It isn't so that I can be lifted up, but it's so that God, through that person with that gift, the body can be lifted up. The church can be built up. The church can be encouraged in the things of the Lord. Now, once again tonight, we are going to take some time to wait upon the Lord. For those of you who want to stay and join us, we're ending a little bit early tonight. And so in just a moment, Evan and Sandy are going to come back up and we'll close with a song. And we'll take about a 5-minute break. And if you have kids in the children's ministry, you need to get them at 8 o'clock. So if you want to hang with us for a little while before you get your kids, then that's great. If not, then feel free to get them now and go ahead and go on your way. But let's stand together. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we desire, as a group of people gathered together here, Lord, we desire everything that you have for us. And Lord, we find it incredible that you not only place your Holy Spirit within us, but you seek to empower us and to gift us that we might be used in each other's lives. Lord, I pray that we would be those people who are desiring earnestly the gifts that you have for us. That we might go through our day this week, that we might have a day as we go through this week and we're in various places, that you might use us to give a word, to fill somebody's tank, to build them up, to encourage them in the things of the Lord. And Lord, we pray now tonight that as we take some time to wait upon you and allow your Spirit to just meet us here and to move in our midst and to use those people with gifts that are here amongst us. Lord, we pray that you would speak, that you would touch our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen.